Did y'all hear that women's conference announcement?
I expected the wave. I expected you ladies to stand up and do the wave. It didn't happen. Next time around, we're just going to get up and start dancing. I'm so excited. Praise God. You all, this is a wonderful Sunday because we get to have baby dedications today and to present our children to the Lord. This is a time of celebration. We are a church family, so we're all in this together. So there are going to be some families that come forward that you might not know. Introduce yourselves to them today. Get to know them. This is their church family, and these babies are going to grow up in this house. These are their friends, their godly friends. This is their source to come to. So make yourself friendly and get to know these families and celebrate with them. I'll be calling their names, and if you guys want, come on up front, and you'll line up front here in front of us. So our first, the parents are Jeff and April Carlson. Please bring up Credence Jeffrey Carlson. Credence was born on January the 23rd in 2001. Look at that little squishy baby. We need Marissa West and Barry Davis to bring Archer Barry Davis. He was born on December 26, 2019. You guys, we have the cutest kids here at Trailhead Church.
That's some good-looking hair. I'm loving it.
Ryan and Sydney, you want to bring up Mr. Rhett right now, born in September the 28th, 2020. It was the one date that was backwards. I'm so sorry. Mr. Rhett, Hal, come on up here. Ryan and Sydney, Hal, look at you guys. Hi. Hey, Rhett. We've got Dylan and Megan Maiden to bring Ivy Monroe Maiden. She was born on October 24th in 2018. Gabriella Molinari and Christian, please bring up Keanu Molinari, born on December the 18th, 2020. We've got quite a few December babies. And then Benjamin and Nicole Smith, please bring up Lawson Dale Smith. This is the newest one, born May 19th, 2021.
I love it.
Look at you guys.
Amazing.
Beautiful. And we have devotions for your babies. We know they can't read them yet. You're going to have to read them to them, and that's okay.
You know, God sees children as important. And, you know, obviously so do these parents, right? You know, in Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Some gifts have some strings attached, right? If you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These children, they like to do things, and they're a gift. And we've got to figure those gifts out, you know. And it's only going to be by the help of God that we can figure these gifts out. You know, God's gifts to you are important. We can't take these lightly. God's given you this precious gift of children. He's also given you that awesome responsibility to train up your children in the ways of the Lord, to be an example of Christian living both inside and outside the home, to provide for, protect, and nurture your children, making them a part of your family, sharing with them your love, your time, your life. It's important that we teach them to love the same Jesus that we love and to serve and obey and honor him with all of our hearts. You know, you're not alone in this responsibility. God, your Heavenly Father, is always with you to provide you with the strength. Can we get an amen on the strength? Amen. The encouragement, the love, and the supernatural wisdom that is needed. All you have to do is go to him. He will provide it all. This morning, we're not only dedicating the children as much as we are dedicating the parents. By coming up here, you as parents are publicly saying that you want to raise your children in a Christ-honoring home. And you're asking God's blessing on your ministry as Christian parents. So listen as I ask some questions. In answering these questions, you're making promises to God. So as I ask them, I want you to say yes and amen. Got it? Here we go. Do you recognize your child as a gift from God and give God thanks for blessing your life with this gift?
Yes.
It's important, your participation. Here we go. Do you then dedicate your child to the Lord who gave you your child?
Yes.
Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up your child in a Christian home, looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Yes. Do you promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you promise to pray for your child on a regular basis, realizing that it is only with God's hand upon their life that they can be truly blessed? Last question. Will you ask God's blessings upon the life of your child to guide, guard, and direct them through all of their years? If your heart was in these promises, then you have dedicated yourself to raising a child that God can use mightily in his kingdom. You know, I'm going to send you guys a letter here in the upcoming days, and obviously your children will not be able to read these, but in the years to come, I would challenge you to read these letters to your children and to say to them, look what we did, and that you begin to place that on your own hearts and keep it as a placement where you have made that promise to give them every opportunity of Jesus Christ in their life, to raise them up in a good godly home, and to show them Jesus. You know, my parents, every time the door was open in the church, we were there. They saw the benefit of that. You too should see that same benefit. I want you to understand that this is not something we take lightly, even as a church. It takes all of us, the big C, to be a part of these children's lives. I remember my Sunday school teachers, Betty. I love Betty. Betty taught me the Word of God. Some of you in this room, you are a Betty to these children. Understand the value that you bring to this as well, that you keep your place as an example in the kingdom of God for these little ones. It's important. So I'm going to ask that if all the parents would turn and face me now, and that the congregation would stand, and that we would pray over these children. It's super important that we bind together and that we dedicate not only these children, but also the parents as well. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for each child that stands before me here this morning. God, that we bring our children to you, and God, we present them to you. Lord, in the same way, Lord, that has been given and instructed us throughout the entire Word of God, Lord, that you look at children as a precious gift. And God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you, Lord, that we don't take this gift lightly, but God, we honor you with our gifts. God, I thank you, Lord, each individual, Lord, every child that's before me, God, that the uniqueness of who they are, Lord, that you continue to develop them. Lord, you continue to show them, Lord, the instruments for noble purpose that they are. God, I thank you, Lord, that whatever they put their hands to, they're blessed going in, blessed going out. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the, Lord, just in the pure essence of who they are, their personalities, the uniqueness. God, I'm so thankful for this. God, show them their purpose. God, show them, Lord, the path that lay before them. Lord, I thank you for this. God, I thank you that they will be given every tool that they need to be successful in the kingdom of God. God, I thank you, Lord, that in this very moment we can rebuke the enemy, that any snare that has been placed before them, God, that it has been extinguished. God, I thank you, Lord, as they climb the mountaintops and they walk through the valleys, Lord, that you are with them, that, Lord, you go before them. God, I thank you, Lord, that they do not lean on their own understanding, but they lean on your understanding. God, I thank you, Lord, as a church, we stand behind these families, Lord, and hold them up and not tear them down. God, that we are encouragers and not discouragers. Lord, that in any advice that we can give them, Lord, that we use the powerful Word of God and not our own words, but your words. God, I thank you for every one of these children. And Lord, for these parents as well. Lord, give them the strength and the wisdom that they need in all that they do. And Lord, we love you. We cherish you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, we all said, amen. All right, you guys got devotionals right there. You guys can have a seat. We love it. So, my wife's going to come up and join me this morning. This is a message that, as I began to lay it out, I thought, you know, my wife knows a lot. So I thought, let's do this together. You know, I think we should learn how to do things together. There's so many things in the world that try to separate us. Now, our title this morning is Family, but don't necessarily look at the photo and don't look at the word and start getting these preconceived notions of what I'm about to talk about. Yeah. I think often you may say family, oh, it's a family series, moment, day, sermon, something. No, it's bigger, deeper than that. Amen. I want to talk about this. So if you are new to Trailhead Church, know this. We have a culture here that you need to be a good note taker. You need to open up your notebook or your phone app notes and begin to take notes. It's important. I went to college, and yes, you only retain 15%, all right? So this morning's message, we need to retain a little bit more than 15%. So let's be good stewards and good Bereans of the Word of God to take down what is being said, then go out and study it this week. So this week's homework is Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, my wife and I, we want to talk about joy and strength today, but not only with joy and strength, but we want to talk about the depths of what those two words mean and how to get your breakthrough and how to have an understanding and a revelation of God's purpose in your life. God's got some good things for you. And the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to come in and kill that joy, make you as weak as possible, as worthless as possible. And we can't allow that to happen. So we need to be awake right now. We need to be attentive to God's word. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8, this is a wonderful chapter. And if some of you aren't familiar with this chapter, it's pretty unique to me as a church planter back in the day. There's not a two-step program of how to create a church. How do you plant a church? What do you do? Well, actually, the closest to this is Nehemiah 8. The reason why I'm standing on a stage right now is because of Nehemiah 8. The reason why we have worship and we raise our hands and we bow down is because of Nehemiah 8. The reason why we have Sunday morning church is because of Nehemiah 8. And the reason why Christians love to eat is Nehemiah 8. Man, we know how to break bread. My friends here from Florida, they're visiting this weekend, and we ate a lot of food yesterday. I looked at, his name is Josh as well, and I said, Josh, see, in West Virginia, we have these things called pepperoni rolls. Some of you are familiar with them, some of you aren't. So we wanted to break these Floridians into the culture of our lives, and so we said, here's some pepperoni rolls. And long and behold, Josh had 8 of those. He just couldn't stop. But you know, that felt so good to me. I was like, I'm so glad you like us. But Christians, we know how to tear it apart. And I love it. So, you know, for us with Nehemiah, we have some things here to get into rhythm. You know, as a family, talking about the church family right now, as the church family, there's some moments that we may seem out of sync. There's a rhythm to this. You know, in Isaiah, we know that God's ways are higher than ours, all right? We know that his thinking is higher than ours. In Isaiah 55, 10, and 11, it says, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. There's a season here. There's a placement of timing. It's so good. Said, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Some of you need to recognize the seed time and harvest when it comes with God's word. Are you right now collecting God's word? And you should be doing that every day, okay? Constantly collecting God's word, soaking in his word. and begin to applying it to your life, to begin that process of, God, I'm going to speak your word out because I want it to produce fruit. I want everywhere I go, everything I touch my hand to, this is Deuteronomy 28, by the way. This is every moment I want to see a producing, living being that is producing fruit. I want to see that in my life. I want to see it in your life. Man, there's nothing more wonderful to see someone who is thriving. God has given us the ability to thrive, but you need to understand the rhythm of things.
And we see out of Nehemiah, we understand that they'd been in this building project. It had been a season of God moving, of fasting and praying, but it had been a lot. And often whenever our lives, it seems like a lot, or you're overwhelmed, or you feel out of balance. Anyone else, ever you just felt out of balance? Like you're like, okay, my schedule's whack. Everything is out of balance in my life. You just don't seem on track, or things are coming up in your family. It could even seem that you felt out of balance at church. You see, in any area of our lives, Satan is trying to come in and steal our joy. And if he can steal your joy, he'll zap your strength. Right? So we see Nehemiah, we see them coming out of this building process. And they go in the beginning of this chapter to Ezra, and they go before him and they recognize, we need the word of God. God, in order to get in rhythm of what you have for us, we need your word. You see, what we're finding here is the Spirit of God working through the word of God will bring a revival into your home and your family, but only if you're sending it forth. If you're not sending anything out, then nothing's going to come in. This is where today, and I know for many of us right now, you're thinking, Pastor Josh, Pastor Anna, we are out of balance at our household. God has a word of rhythm for your home and your family today. You've got to choose to receive it. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your ears and your heart. There's many of you, your heart's gotten hardened to some of these things because it's been so challenging, because you've gone through some hard things, possibly through relationships. Disappointments. Ooh, disappointments, that's a big one, isn't it? A few weeks ago, the Lord, during worship here, he said, Anna, I want all of your disappointments. He said, I want you to give them all to me. That's challenging. You know, so many of us are holding on to those disappointments and we find our identity through disappointment. And we see through this chapter a true revival in the church and in families. And the world needs a revival to take place in the church, in the body of Christ, within families. Y'all, we got to have strong families today. And that means through this word and what Joshua and I, we love this message. We've been very excited about it, just talking about amongst ourselves, because there's going to be some correction that comes forth. There's going to be some things today that God's going to birth in your spirit that he's going to ask of you in your household. A few weeks ago, super interesting just how God works, by the way. The Lord had ministered to me about fasting some thoughts that were leading to, okay, I'm a communicator, so I'm going to talk. What I think typically then comes through my voice to my husband. Any other communicators out here, talkers? I just was trying to sound nice of how I worded it. But we were having conversations that were not productive. They were leading to nowhere. And the Lord said, I want you to fast the thoughts that are leading to those conversations. And then it was that very next Sunday that he got up here and said, hey, he ministered on fasting and talked about some of you need to fast your thoughts. And I was like, oh, man. God, that was... But I didn't take it wrong. I took it as how much the Holy Spirit loves me because he wants to grow my marriage. And I began to fast those thoughts and commit them to the Lord. And I didn't tell him about it because it was between me and Jesus. I was wanting to see fruit. This is what I was sending forth before the Lord. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit loves us enough to correct us. So we see in Nehemiah chapter 8, and if you have your Bibles, turn there. I want to read these first few scriptures. But it says Ezra reads the law. So now all the people gathered together. I like how he says all. This is for everyone. This is the whole body. Doesn't matter who you got problems with. It doesn't matter how mad you are at somebody. This is for everyone. And this is where change will come. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday, about 6 hours. This is how hungry they were. God, we need you. Lord, we need you. 6 hours, morning to afternoon, that before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Those are some key words here, y'all. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood. Hey, look, here we are. Which they had made for the purpose. There's a purpose behind everything to be received. And beside him at his right hand, I'm not going to say these names, but I'll let you all just interpret those in your heart. But what he's saying is to the right and to the left were men supporting him. That there was support when the word was given. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered amen and amen while lifting up their hands. Woo! And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Some of y'all wonder why we do what we do. And then also, I'm not going to nail those names, but they understood. It says, then there were men. They sent men forth to help them understand the law. Sometimes we come in and we don't know. It's hard. That's why we have our Pathfinder and our teaching courses, and that's why we've got to be disciples to help people understand what's being ministered in the Word of God, to help our kids understand why they're saved, why they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, why Jesus is their healer and their Lord. So then he goes on to say, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. God takes care of everyone. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now we want to break this down this morning of what this looks like, of how you can have joy and strength within your church family, within your own home and your own family. Because are any of y'all just tired of being sick and tired of going through hard things and feeling defeated?
Yeah.
Enough's enough. Let's get in. We're going to be doers. And see God, his power transform us. This is what this looks like.
Isn't it interesting, as Anna was reading that, I mean, these people were, living in caves. They were living just desolate in areas of just destruction. And being brought back into this place was just a refreshing moment. You guys, that's what we're doing every Sunday. And yet, here, obviously, I'm going to crucify us as being Americans, because it's like, we have so many nice comforts. So therefore, we kind of just forget about the idea of why would I have to do this on a Sunday? And it's because in reading the Word of God together and doing things together, it presents itself in a different manner than ever before. Church is so necessary. And to hear God's word, that living word, the transformational power of that word is beyond our capability of knowing. And when you hear that word of God, and in this moment that we read in verses 9 and 10, it talks about these guys, they're like weeping and they're crying. Yeah. And it wasn't a matter of like correction of like, oh, I'm a moron. It was a correction of I am free now. There's a freedom in God's word. There's a freedom in this. And they begin to celebrate this. We need to begin to celebrate. You guys, have you ever been to a party where there's two people in the room? It's not much of a party, is it? Have you guys ever been a child and you invited your whole class and one kid showed up? You're thankful for that kid and you realize he's got your back, but the rest of them don't. I've been to those parties before. It's nothing better than being at a party. I remember my wife had a surprise birthday party. I forget what age I was, but I remember going to my parents' house and walking to the door as if it was just a normal day of like, it's my birthday, whatever, this is great, family's gonna be here. And then, but in the backyard, there was like a billion people, and I was like, this is amazing. People love me. Like, I felt appreciated. Like, this is great. That's what church is about. Church is coming in and going, I love you, Jason. Like, I love you, Mark. Like, I love Larry. Larry was sweaty nasty last week making hot dogs and doing all kinds of stuff. And he was like, do I get a hug?
Yeah, you do, Larry.
I mean, I didn't. I rejected him hard.
What?
Hard. I was like, no, man. But then later I was like, I'm a moron. Larry, let's hug it out. And I held him extra longer than I would before. Because these are the moments of church, of recognizing that's what we're doing. We're celebrating the good, the bad, and the ugly, every one of us, and going, man, I'm here for you. I'm here to weep with you and to have that breakthrough moment with yeah. God. You know, in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14, and it's so perfect even for today with dedicating our children, but you made all the delicate inner parts of my body yeah. and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Isn't it odd how when we meet somebody, they go, yeah, I've been told I'm weird. I've heard that. And they use it as almost like a complex,
yeah.
or like this disorder. And I'm like, no, this is something you relish and you should be excited about. The complexity of who you are, it's wonderful. It says your workmanship, God's workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How well do you know it? How well do you cherish this moment of celebrating people and who they are and their complexity and saying, man, God is so wonderful in your life. To be an encourager and not a discourager.
Whenever we think about this rhythm and then going into celebration, how are they able to celebrate? Well, they were able to celebrate because they began to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit was saying for their home and their families, for who they were. In order for God to do a full work in you, you got to be willing to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you.
Right.
And it's never going to go outside of His Word. They were like, Ezra, we need you to read the Word of God. God's Spirit was moving in them through God's Word that was being spoken to them. Often we try to celebrate, but then we try to do it in our own strength or through our own joy. And then when something comes up, an expectation has failed, or you're around someone that y'all are different. Hey, guess what? We're all different in this room. There are going to be challenges at times. If it's not based upon God's word, you're going to have problems celebrating one another. That's how offense creeps in, right? That's how hurt, guilt, shame. I love whenever they're talking about this to the people, when Ezra is saying, hey, No. You don't have to weep and cry over this. You see, when the word of God is read, it's going to bring correction. That's what this does, and it should. God corrects those whom He loves, and He loves us. He's a good dad. The same way that we're called to correct our own children. But it's not from a place of shame or condemnation. That is Satan. So he comes in, he says, hey, don't stay there in the tears and the weeping. A couple years ago, the Holy Spirit brought something out in our household that I needed to correct with one of our children. And I had so much mom guilt. It's a real thing. Yeah. Okay. I had so much mom guilt immediately. And it was the Holy Spirit, though, that revealed it to me through prayer. You know, this all right here was birthed through prayer. But then Satan tried to come in right away and steal the joy of that correction. So I called a friend up, a good friend of mine, Sheila Mathis. A lot of y'all know Sheila. She'll be at the women's conference this year for one of our breakouts, teaching on parenting, actually. But anyway, she goes, stop it right now. You stop it. It's mom guilt. Enough's enough. Your kid's grown up to be, you know what you're speaking out over your kids. You know what you've declared over your children. I go, oh, okay, that's right. Stop it right now. You know what you're declaring out over your children. You know what you're speaking out over your kids. Take authority in the name of Jesus over that spirit of rebellion. I'm not talking about go up to them and be like, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. That's, listen, you don't have to do that in the grocery store, but write in your spirit, man.
But in their bedroom.
It's on. It's on. But in your spirit, right? It will rise up. What you've been planting inside of you, but you got to get a word for your kids from the Word of God. And then when the enemy, when the Holy Spirit reveals something, celebrate it. That's right. Praise God. I heard from the Holy Ghost. I'm correcting this, and God has given us a plan for us to see our children be trained up. So then whenever they're old, they will not depart from it because I'm sowing good seed into fertile soil, and it will produce a harvest in their lives. But you've got to speak the Word of God and not allow the enemy to put guilt or shame. It happens in marriages. Holy Spirit will come in, have some hard conversations, and we've had to say, okay, we're not ever going to bring that up again and commit to it. That's hard. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. You can't be bringing up junk you've already been forgiven for, right? You got to go in.
And in the same way, it works in all relationships. So even in this church right now, there is forces going against you connecting. There are forces going against any type of relationship for you to form. The enemy wants to aggravate you. The enemy wants to hurt you.
Isolate.
God's word is solid and true. God doesn't come in. God did not create, and I'm going to do a doctrinal statement for all of you. He did not create the storm in order to calm it. Man, that aggravates me so much. Some of the teachings that I've heard that God is the one causing your battle so you can learn something. Like, you will learn something, but it ain't God causing the moment. God doesn't cause these things in order to teach you. Man, that is such a false doctrine. I mean, read the Word of God, people, please. In no way does God do this. But God's Word is an example for us. And it says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, he's given himself as the example as well, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. If you have any type of aggravation in your relationships, it's not from God. If there is aggravation involved, then there is a flesh moment, and there's a real enemy trying to separate you, and as my wife points out, isolate you. In relationships all across the board right now, if you have animosity towards someone in this house, you need to go to them, and you need to work this out. But you go with a forgiving heart. Not a vengeful. I just want to let you know, you hurt me one time. That's not how that works. You walk already in forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm going to use Josh a lot this morning because I've spent so much time with him the last few days. My kids were watching cartoons, and there's some cartoons that my kids watch that he doesn't. And I was like, and not that he doesn't, but his kids don't. And so immediately, he goes back to his childhood, and he looks at my two oldest kids. He's like, SpongeBob? And they're like, oh, yeah, we love SpongeBob. And I go, I hate that show. He goes, how could you hate that show? He goes, it is the pure example of walking in forgiveness, walking in love. And I was like, how in the world are you transferring this over to God right now? He goes, easily. He goes, everyone was so mean to SpongeBob. Everyone. Everyone's so mean. And he still looks at him and goes, like with love and compassion. Like, it doesn't matter how mean people were to SpongeBob. SpongeBob is still like. And you think about it, and you're like, I guess you're right. I need to watch more SpongeBob, you know? But guys, we're here to encourage, not discourage. Yeah. We're here to walk in forgiveness and to show the true pureness of God's love in every ounce of relationships that we have, every bit of relationship we have, you have got to begin to show that love.
And they were supporting one another. They were all in this together to receive the word of God together. There was God's joy and his strength because it came through thanksgiving, prayer, and praise. These are key ingredients to your household to have joy and strength. For the joy of the Lord to be your strength, you got to get in and you got to pray. You got to be thankful and teach your children how to pray. Show them what thankfulness looks like. And you need to praise the Lord. They came out of a hard, a beautiful season, but a challenging season. And I love that they were supporting one another to have a greater understanding of the Word of God. Are you hungry for God's Word? It's a question we should ask ourselves on a regular basis. And then we know from this rhythm of God setting this to this time of celebration, what is your response to the Word of God? Because your response brings revival. How you respond today determines the revival you're going to have in your own heart and your own home. Repentance through conviction from the Holy Spirit will bring joy and strength in our household, not shame, guilt, or condemnation. None of us are perfect. So I have my favorite scripture, Philippians 1:6, and being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will accomplish it or complete it. He will prosper it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun a good work in me, and he's working that work out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a continual work. God's doing a continual work in us, church. But we've got to respond to it. Think about this. I mean, really, stamp this on the forehead of on your forehead today. God, you're doing a good work in my family. Some of you are like, he's not. It's hard. Annie, you don't even know. This is where faith comes in through right. The word of God.
Right.
God, you are doing a good work in my family. God, you are doing a good work in my children, in my parents, in my grandparents, in I don't know who it might be, but this should be your statement of faith today. That every day this week, I want the first thing for you to say before you put your feet on the ground is, Lord, I receive every good gift that you have for me today, and I thank you, God, that you are doing a good work in my family. I receive that by faith in Jesus' name. And then you open your word, you grab that scripture, and you proclaim out the life-giving, all-powerful word of God over your home. You can't quit.
Right.
You can't stop. Some of us were like, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. Get in the word and take authority over it in Jesus' name. It's going to happen because we live in a fallen earth. But he has a plan, and his plan is named Jesus. And then Jesus sent us the Holy Ghost to give us power so we can understand what he's saying and so we can do this with boldness and truth. But church, we've got to respond.
How you respond creates healthy expectations.
Yeah.
That is so important. Paul learned that secret of living in every situation. That is actually a scriptural verse from the Word of God that so many people are oblivious to in their lives. I hear people ask that question often. Man, I feel like I'm just drained. I don't even know what I'm doing. The life has been sucked out of me. And I don't know. I'm lost. I don't know the right next best step. I mean, you hear it all the time. Yet Paul says it in Philippians 4:11. It says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. And here it is. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ. That's the key, who gives me strength. It's a healthy expectation. When you see it through the eyes of Christ, it's a healthy expectation. You have this moment to go, man, I know how to respond. I know how to respond when it's good, when it's bad, and it's ugly. I know how to handle anything that comes my way. I have boldness. I have strength. I have joy. I know what I'm doing. It's a healthy expectation, but you've got to see it through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You have made him Lord over your life. You have accepted and you have received this notion and understanding of his word to go, man, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Because I'm the old creation. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you begin to walk through this beautiful, beautiful process that Jesus laid out for us, that by him going to the Father, the Father sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, now can live and dwell inside of you.
That's right.
That power that you need to hear and understand God's word and to have that conviction moment to go, well, I can't do that. I can do this. In the moments of living, that's what Paul's talking about. I know. I have a full grasp on this. Acts chapter 2 is the blueprint for the church. When you see that 3,000 people were involved in this, this becomes more than just a one-time occurrence. This becomes a doctrinal lifestyle of how to live successfully as a family, as a church, as an individual. It's all laid out in Acts chapter 2. Read it. There's your other homework assignment. Nehemiah 8, Acts chapter 2. Yeah. But Acts chapter 2 lays it out. They begin to break bread with one another. They were taking care of one another. They were loving one another. They were sharing the gospel with one another. They were departing from one another, sharing the gospel with others, and bringing others into the fold. I mean, there's a beautiful picture here that we've got to learn to follow and walk through it. Because, guys, there is transition that takes place. Yeah. But we've got to learn how to have life through those transitions. These are seasonal moments. There's moments, gosh, being married isn't something you just go, oh, it's going to be wonderful. It's a magnifying glass on top of you, of your insufficiencies, your inadequacy, everything about it. There's a magnifying glass that goes, I see you. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my wife's gone like this. Oh, man, there it is. I go, what? What? And then you're like, she didn't say anything. And you're thinking, oh, God, what is it? She goes, I'm thinking the worst of things, right? She goes, another gray hair. Another gray hair. She false. Cuts my hair. Oh, false. She cuts my hair. She gets my hair. She'll go, oh, wow.
Man, you got a lot of gray hair.
She sees it all. But life through transition is not easy. For you that are in this room and you're about to change job professions, who knows what it is? Life, there's some difficult moments, but when you have the perspective through his ways are higher, that's God's right. got something for that transition. In these transitions, it's important because Deuteronomy 6 lays it out for us. In verse 4, it says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them. This is a learning process. This is a discussion process. And then it says, talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road. When you are going to bed and when you are getting up, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is I'm standing for this. Do you guys remember Joshua in chapter 24? He says to them, I don't know about you guys, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is a declaration that you've got to make that on your life. You've got to learn how to walk in these, live in these, talk with this, walk with this. You don't just leave it behind on certain occasions. You go, oh, yeah, I do. I believe that. No, you are that. You are the Word of God. Paul says that he writes living letters. Living letters. Guys, I want to be a living letter. The people are learning something. They have an understanding of the Word of God just by the lifestyle that I lead. You too have that same call on your life.
Right.
Every one of you in this room.
And he says to go your way to eat the fat. Some of y'all should have just shouted for joy.
Amen.
Right there. Amen, Pastor Anna. What's that mean? That means to eat the good stuff of God, to feast at his table, his presence. A lot of people, you've been real sad, and it's shown up in your home. Seems like day in and day out, you're just seeing all the problems, all the negative, all the hardships. And the Lord wants you to flip the switch today and to begin to see it through his eyes, that he loves you, that he's for you. He wants you to eat the fat, to get into his presence. I love whenever I read this and I wrote this down in my notes, great gladness comes through obedience to the word of God. This is where true gladness comes in. That day by day the word was spoken and it brought revival to the people by the Spirit of God working through God's word. This is how they were able to celebrate. This is how they were able to get into rhythm in their family and their homes. Of God, I'm not going to stay in the sorrow. I'm not going to stay in the sadness. I'm not going to stay in the aggravation. But Lord, I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to be a doer of the word of God. I'm going to get in the fatness and get in your presence. I'm going to sing and worship you and bow down before the Lord. I'm going to praise your holy name. Jesus, you are Lord. Get your victory banner out. Jesus, you are Lord over my family. Jesus, you are Lord over my marriage. God wants to restore families today. Some of you, you need a plan for your family. We're going to pray here in a minute, and the Holy Spirit's going to begin to birth that plan in your heart. Write it down. Habakkuk 2:2 says to write that vision down. Husbands, write it down. Wives, write it down. Single people, write it down. If in your marriage, you've been having a hard time through some transitions, the Lord wants to renew your marriage today. Just like he gave me a word to bring peace in our conversation, he'll bring you a word. But your response to that word is what will bring revival to your marriage.
Amen.
And this is by the Spirit of God, not in your power, not in your might. You're responding, but it's his power at work on the inside of you. It's his strength. It's his joy. This is who he is, the greater one living inside of you, Jesus, doing a work in your life today.
I want everyone to stand to their feet. We have some altar care workers down here, and here in a second, Ann and I are going to step down, and I want the worship team to begin to worship just for a little bit. I know we're taking up some time this morning, but you know what? It's time with the Lord, and there's no better time than that.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I had someone this morning, I'll keep your identity secret, but man, I had one of these moments this morning that was so awesome. I had an individual come up to me, and they were hesitant a few weeks ago, about a month ago or so. And they said, it's been about 2 months, I think. And they first came up, and they were kind of like, hey, I want to share something with you. And I was like, all right, man, what's going on? And they shared what was happening, and I'm like, man, we're believing to get pregnant. And they showed me a picture of a positive test this morning. And I was like, man, I'm telling you what, our church, I'm telling you. Like, there's something about the power of God. Man, and for some of you, you need that testimony, you need to hold tight to it yourself for that victory you're believing for. I mean, all odds were against this family. And the look on that individual's face was like, man, it's been tough. We've tried everything. Guys, I just love it. Man, I love it. We've seen miracles, signs, and wonders take place in this church. We will continue to see this take place. It's for people who are willing to believe God's word, to hold tight to those things, to step out and say, you know what? God's word is greater than any other word. It is the answer for your life. For some reason, we want to believe all others and not the word of God. The creator of the universe, the creator of who you are, who knit you together in your mother's womb, wonderfully complex who you are. And he says, come to me. We're going to open up the altar this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to come down here. We want to introduce you to your Creator. If you want a breakthrough in your life, if you're believing for something, man, who knows what it is? I want to see you down here. I want to pray with you. We're going to pray. We're going to worship here this morning. But guys, don't hesitate. Hesitation, that dams up the flow of God. Man, allow God to pour out in your life. He is so much richly wanting to bless you with.
In marriages, husbands, grab your wife's hand.
and begin to prophesy over your family together. Come in agreement right now. If you're with your family, come in agreement. Take a moment right now in the mighty name of Jesus and begin to speak out God's word over your life. And I believe today, by faith in Jesus' name, you will get your word for your family today. But take this opportunity right now, this moment, for God to begin a work in your home.